Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. A 12-hour concert this weekend will honor the memory of a late Traverse City lawyer, activist, and school board member.
She put it in her will, and she wanted it to be a little over a year after she passed. And she said it doesn't have to be a big party, but it does have to be a good party.
We'll hear about Holly Palooza and the life of Holly T. Byrd just ahead. First, though, a check of some headline news. The Michigan House passed a bill yesterday afternoon that would give Mackinac Island authority over all aspects of ferry services to the tourist destination. That includes prices for not only fares, but also parking and baggage handling. The legislation now goes to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Because the bill amends the island's charter, it would take effect only if a majority of Mackinac Island residents approve it. Both St. Ignace and Mackinac City oppose the legislation because it gives Mackinac Island the power to control parking rates in their municipalities. The legislation advances amid a year-old federal court battle between the island and the Florida company that owns both ferry lines that transport tourists. Officials with that company, Hoffman Marine, could not be reached for comment late yesterday afternoon. More than 1.3 million Michiganders are expected to travel at least 50 miles this coming Memorial Day weekend, and AAA Michigan says that is a new record. Adrian Woodland is with the Auto Club. She says drivers should prepare in advance with a pre-trip inspection of their vehicle.
Last year for Memorial Day, nationally, AAA responded to more than 350,000 calls for emergency roadside assistance.
The average price for a gallon of regular gas is $4.77. That's about $1.50 more than this time last year. AAA is also bringing back its confidential tow-to-go program to keep impaired drivers off the road. That offers a free trip home within 10 miles of the destination. Data centers, or data centers, if you like, are a hot topic in Michigan. Green Lake Township here in Grand Traverse County recently put a year-long moratorium on the centers preemptively. Other towns in our region have done the same, statewide too, but in Lowell Township, just outside of Grand Rapids, the township board decided not to do that, not to put a moratorium in place. And as WGVU reporter Dee Morrison tells us, people at the meeting where that vote happened were not happy.
The Lowell Charter Township Board met with boos and shouts for recall when it voted 5-2 against a proposed 6-month moratorium on data center development. Microsoft has revealed plans to build a hyperscale data center at Covenant Business Park in the township. Clerk Monica Burt was one of the two yes votes.
I believe this moratorium that's being proposed would give that planning commission and the Lowell Charter Township Board time to establish a zoning ordinance to consider all the comments and the concerns over the past 6 months.
Before the vote, the majority of attendees spoke in favor of the moratorium and against approving a grant agreement to fund water and sewer upgrades at the business park. Afterward, when neither vote went their way, attendee Marjorie Steele urged the board to reconsider.
The last time I saw board members display this level of ignorance, arrogance, and blatant disregard for their constituents, every single member of that board was recalled.
Board members also voted to create a specialized working group to draft a data center zoning ordinance, including two board members, two planning commissioners, and at least three private citizens. I'm Dee Morrison.
Memorial Day weekend is here. It is the unofficial start of summer for most people. And up north, it's also the unofficial start to the gardening season. So what better time to restart Grow and Tell, our seasonal gardening segment? We are back with Dylan Kulik, the Assistant Director of Sustainability here at Interlochen, who manages the educational farm right next door to IPR. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for having me back in the studio.
I'm so glad you're here, and you brought some seeds with you.
Yes, that's right. Here they are. Dry and saved from last fall, we have a wonderful crop of common milkweed, And we're going to be talking milkweeds today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking milkweeds today because not too long ago, we ran a story about the monarch butterfly and its returning migration to Michigan. And the story mentioned you should plant milkweed in your yard, common milkweed. And a listener, Kate in Petoskey, got in touch.
And I was just like, oh, this is so well-intentioned, and this will so let people down. You know, this is not a good first experience to have with native plants as part of your home landscape.
Why, Dylan, would Kate say something like that?
This is an interesting question because it can be, and we're talking about common milkweed specifically, it can become a spready plant that becomes difficult to manage in the garden.
Okay, yeah. So let's hear a little more of Kate's story because she moved to Petoskey in 2019. She's got a nice house. It was already well landscaped. It had some nice shrubs.
A couple of years in, a common milkweed plant popped up and I was delighted because I knew that it was important for monarch butterflies, right?
And then Dylan, more popped up over by the hydrangea, underneath the hydrangea, all over her yard. And she said that the reason this plant was so prolific is because of how it grows underground. It's connected by, is it rhizomes?
That's correct. It spreads via these roots, also known as a rhizomatic spreading, which is a very advantageous trait. But in some cases, especially for managed gardens, it can become problematic.
Here's Kate again.
They're like, I don't know, almost like an extension cord, you know, in their thickness and sturdiness. And so I very meticulously was digging out these rhizomes, and then little babies were still popping up everywhere. It's great if you've got a meadow or a ditch, but not great in a garden or a yard.
Okay, so Dylan, what do we put in our yard? We love butterflies. We want them around, but not common milkweed, it sounds like.
A potential solution we can talk about today is to grow a different type of milkweed that is called butterfly milkweed.
Well named.
Yeah, right. Also vital habitat for monarchs, as well as other pollinators, butterflies, native bees, and even hummingbirds due to the above average nectar production of the blossoms. And these are perennials, just like common milkweed. But the key difference here is the lack of those rugged, robust, tough rhizomes that spread through your garden. Very, very much more desirable for a confined gardener who has not that much space to operate.
So common milkweed isn't evil, it's not invasive, and if you've got a big old field of wildflowers behind your house, go to town. But if you've got a small yard or a regular size yard that you're trying to manage what grows where, butterfly milkweed, it sounds like your ticket. Can I just go buy it at the store?
Absolutely. Local conservation districts have this butterfly milkweed for sale in seed, so dry seeds, or in potted plants. Both of those will be suitable for planting. The seeds, however, take a little bit of extra effort to get going.
Yeah, so that's going to be my question. If I get the seeds, what do I do with them?
You would preferably mimic the conditions that these seeds undergo throughout winter. So for the grower, we can attempt to simulate these conditions by doing what's called cold stratification. And at the farm, usually how we accomplish our cold stratification is in a Ziploc baggie with some wet sand. Mix in your seeds, throw it in the fridge. If you're oscillating around 32 degrees, 34, maybe up to 40, that is creating the conditions that signal the seeds to germinate.
You're tricking the seeds into thinking that it's wintertime and it's time to get to work.
Exactly. But generally, you're going based on the timer, 30 to 60 days. If you set yourself up somewhere in the middle, 45-day timer, it goes off. That's when you can start to make your moves. Sowing it directly into the garden.
Great.
Making sure that you have that area marked out as butterfly milkweed, watering it routinely.
And then the milkweed grows, the butterfly milkweed grows, and we hopefully have butterflies to look at in our yard. And you, me, and Kate, we're all happy.
That's right. And potentially mix in some of these other milkweeds like butterfly, swamp milkweed, tall milkweed, just to round out the garden and make it even more attractive to our pollinators.
Dylan, thank you.
Thank you so much. And happy growing to our listeners.
Absolutely. And Kate, thank you for your question. If you've got something you're curious about in your garden, let us know. You can write to us at talktoipr@interlaken.org. And we will see if we can help you out a little bit. Grow and Tell is our seasonal gardening segment, and Dylan Kulik will be joining us periodically to talk us through what to do. Oh, what to do outdoors. A concert this weekend will honor the memory of Holly T. Byrd, an activist, lawyer, tribal judge, member of the TCAP school board, and so much more. Byrd died a little over a year ago after battling cancer. She was 55. Her friends are organizing a 12-hour celebration of life concert that they are calling Hollypalooza at Earthwork Farm in Lake City from noon to midnight on Saturday. One of the performers on the bill is Seth Bernard, a musician and a friend of Holly T. Byrd, and he is with us now. Seth, welcome to the Up North Lowdown.
Thanks so much for having me, Ed.
How did you know Holly?
So Holly and I first met when I was in middle school, and my sisters were at MSU. Holly went to school with my older sisters, and they would sing together. And then many years later, our paths crossed again at a music festival. And I'm like, I know you. She's like, yeah, I know you too. I remember you as a middle schooler. And I'm like, oh, wow, that was you. And now I know you through this different context. And so we shared this deep passion for water protection and human rights work.
The concert this weekend is explicitly not meant to be maudlin or sad. It's billed as a celebration of life in keeping with, it sounds like, the way she lived her life.
Absolutely. Anyone who knew Holly, you know, knew her as a very, very bright spirit. So we wanted to put together a celebration to really honor her life. And it was Holly who requested it. She put it in her will, and she wanted it to be a little over a year after she passed. And she said, it doesn't have to be a big party, but it does have to be a good party. and that's who she was. She got people smiling and laughing and dancing, even when we were in the trenches, you know, doing the work.
I have a feeling it is going to be a big party, though.
It might be. Yeah. It might be. She touched a lot of lives, and it's open to anyone. So, you know, she loved to dance, so the whole night is going to end with a dance party, playing some of her favorite songs in our barn there at the farm. But I think, you know, she was someone who tried to make the circle wide and really had a real heart for people. So I think it'll be a beautiful thing. We've had a year, you know, to grieve, and I think it'll be awesome to have a full day to celebrate all together. And she kind of had this plan to bring us all together in this way. So it's about to happen.
She's one of the organizers of her own memorial concert.
Exactly. Genius.
I know entry is by donation, with the proceeds going to benefit her three children. You're performing a song that you wrote for her or inspired by her?
Yeah. I have been, trying to find the words, and with someone that had the impact on my life and on our community and the world that Holly had. It's hard to find the words, but I did write a song for her last summer called Water Protector.
Give thanks for her, force of nature.
When I wrote the song, I sort of thought, well, this is for Holly, and it speaks to her life, but I hope that anyone who hears it feels that there's something in it for them too, because we have our work cut out for us here in Michigan to be in relationship with the biggest reserve of fresh water on the planet. And so I think all of us have to step into that more and more.
Sorry for the loss of your friend, but thank you for sharing a little about her and a little about this weekend, too.
Thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate it.
Seth Bernard is one of the organizers of Hollypalooza. He'll be performing the memorial concert on Saturday. Runs for 12 hours, noon until midnight, at Earthwork Farm in Lake City, and honors the memory of Holly T. Byrd. And that is the Up North Lowdown for this Friday, May 22nd. Our producer is Austin Rolater. Our edits are by Steve Junker. And music is by Blue Dot Sessions. And right now, Seth Bernard.
We light our fires. We sing.